Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. We're at 312-981-7200. I think today's show represents just a little bit of everything. Would that be fair?
Yes. Don't you like shows like that?
Yeah. There's fun stuff. There's not some fun stuff. There's just a little bit of
everything.
There's
tech stuff. It's a Tech Tuesday.
Yeah.
All over the board.
Nice combination of everything. I have to ask Mary a quick question in WGN Traffic Central. Mary, are you taking questions today?
Depends.
All right. The Lakeshore Drive situation goes from where to where? What is the extent of the Lakeshore Drive?
Someone's affected by it, I understand.
Boy, am I ever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
yeah,
that's all right.
It's Monroe to North Avenue.
Okay. The reason I ask this is my assumption is because it took me twice as long to get to work today, and I'm not driving near Lakeshore Drive, but my assumption is that a lot of people who would normally take Lakeshore Drive said, I don't need that aggravation. I'll take a different route, and that affected everything. Is that possible?
Wait, you went a different way, or
yeah,
you took Lakeshore Drive?
I take Clark in.
Well, yeah, because everyone's
doing that.
Avoid this. But Lakeshore Drive was very, very messy this morning, and I mean, the rain didn't help, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, Bill, it took me almost 2 hours to get here.
Yeah.
So
yep. And were you on the drive?
But everyone's using alternates, and I'm telling you, when it rains, cars multiply.
Oh, and Tuesday? Tuesday's the worst travel day of the week.
All right,
so throw in what you just said, Wendy, about the rain,
yeah,
about Tuesday, mm-hmm. about the fact that school just started, so people's schedules are a little bit different because of school starting.
It's back to work.
Yep. Steve, it took you 2 hours.
About an hour 50, yeah.
I was just under 2 hours. Took
really?
Me double what it normally takes
me. And you guys both drove.
Yeah.
Taking public transportation when it rains.
Bill, I would have picked you up.
That's nice of you.
About an hour 40.
And as opposed to your normal
hour,
about an hour,
wow.
Yeah.
So, well, it was rainy.
Yeah. It was a combination of all those elements. So, Mary, can this how long can this possibly go on for? Because I think today should be the end of it.
Well,
can we get back to normal tomorrow?
Closure is until October 6th.
Oh,
so
that's way too long.
Yeah,
way too long.
All the ramps, the Randolph, Illinois, Lower Wacker thing, they're closed for a couple of weeks. So yeah, sorry.
I kiddingly said to myself, I could walk faster than this, and then I kept seeing people, like there were people that I saw were even with my car, and then at some point they were way, way past me. So I could have swam.
Divvy bike it.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Although that's the one thing that the rain did prevent. Clark has, for much of the way, a bike lane, and there's always a bunch of people biking, and boy, is it dangerous. I've seen a couple of hits, but so many near hits from people who don't realize, wow, there's bikes right that close to me, and then all of a sudden, trouble.
Bad bike accident this morning at Diversey and Cicero as well. A cyclist got hit there.
I would never ride my bike in the city, no.
I don't think I would either.
And the people who get the divvy bikes ride on the sidewalk, and you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
What about the Segways? Bring them. There's not that many left out there, right? The Segways? You still do those
tours.
You
have to be trained for it. I mean, you need a little
learning.
Informational session.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Bill on a Segway?
It would look
so
fun.
Cute.
I'd like to have one here in the offices to just tool around
in. It would be fun.
That would be
scamp.
So much fun. Was it Paul Blart Mall Cop where he had one for most
of
the movie?
I'm sorry. That movie's stupidly funny.
It is.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Sometimes I just want to laugh and not think.
Yeah. All right. So the other thing I wanted to mention was this. I've noticed over the years, and you and I talk about this quite a bit, when somebody of note passes away, you tend to pay tribute the next day. Or we do anyway because of the timing of our show, is that in the hours that we're not working, somebody fairly famous dies, and then we come on and we talk about them and what they meant to society. But I've noticed the true test of a real person that really has made a difference is what we're experiencing with John McCain. Senator McCain died a couple of years ago. So normally the turnover time is about a day. Everybody pays tribute for about a day. A
couple of days ago.
Yeah, you said years.
Right. A year. Yeah, days. So then we kind of get out what we need to say and then we move on. But I think the true test of somebody that really, really, really meant something to society is what we're seeing now with Senator McCain, where several days later, tributes are still coming in. Stories are still being told. It still brings a tear to your eye that he's no longer amongst us. And that's a good thing, right? It shouldn't just be one day.
You should take all the time you need.
Yeah.
And it depends on the person, obviously.
I read some very nice quotes from his mom, who he mentioned yesterday, is 106 years old.
God bless her.
Have you seen video footage of her?
No.
She looks fantastic. She's in great shape. She's as sharp as a tack. And she was talking about her son and how proud. That was the word that, you know, she really stressed, how proud she was of him.
How could you not be?
That's what I kept thinking, too. That's what I kept thinking.
Well, she does look good.
Doesn't she? Now, I think the picture you're looking at, if it's the same one, is she wearing a red dress in that picture?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was a couple of years ago. I don't think that was extremely recently. But let's say it was 2 years ago and she was only 104. Let me look half that good at 104.
Well, here's
let me exist at 104.
I know.
I'm half 104 and I don't look that good.
Anytime you hear someone in the news that has made it to 100 or above,
yeah,
Bill gets this glimmer in his eye because that's your goal, is to live to at least 100.
I want to be 100.
I don't know that I do.
No. If I'm
hoping for 60.
I tell you, my grandpa lived to be 102, and he was all there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he had his brandy every night, his ice cream. I tell
See,
you,
all things
great?
In moderation.
Yeah.
All things. Except for, like, drugs, obviously.
Yeah. Then
well,
you should
then,
go hard. Wendy's advice is use a lot of drugs or no drugs at all. Do not be moderate in your drug use.
No. Come on. I did not say that.
But don't you think 100, like, not only it's a nice round number and it's a milestone, but you say to yourself, if that guy or girl didn't accomplish what he or she was setting out for at 100, it's not going to happen. Right?
Right. Because I don't think you're still achieving goals in your triple digits.
I think the goal at that point is wake up, right? My goal for today and tomorrow, right. Wake up.
Bill will be 100 and looking for people to have Dobie Gillis trivia contest with. Nobody's left.
You can still write, maybe, or, you know, do something like that.
My wife works with a man, Bud is his name. He's almost 103. And you can't believe how sharp he is. You can't believe. And then his kids come in, and his kids are only in their 80s, you know, and they're sharp.
That's so wild to hear you say that.
Isn't that something? I went to his 100th birthday party a couple of years ago, and I had not met him until I attended this party. And there he is at 100, just carrying on. It's just another day for him. I loved it. It's so inspirational.
I've seen floating around the internet on various news sites, top five regrets of the dying and how to avoid them. So
yeah.
Again, we can say not even if you're dying, but just if you're 100.
Coming to an end.
Number one is I wish I'd had the courage to live a true life to myself, not the life others expected of me.
Boy, that's interesting.
That's great. Because we all give in and do some things sometimes that maybe don't stay true to our hearts.
You have, to some extent.
You have to.
You have to conform. You know, you could try to, I think, you could try to find a successful balance of that, but it's not always easy.
Right.
Right?
That's a great one. This one doesn't apply to us. I wish I didn't work so hard.
Yeah.
We're good on that.
You can cross that one off.
Number three, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. And I believe the new generation will express their feelings more than someone who's 100 years old today.
I agree with that 100%. Yeah.
Because we're all speaking more freely.
Yeah, yeah.
Four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And number five, I wish that I had let myself be happier.
Wow. Think about how sad that would be, though, is if you know your days are numbered and you just you think that to yourself. You know, that's kind of tragic, right?
It is. You know, I could change that too. I wish that I had let myself be happy. I just need to be
happier.
Happy. I'm always worried about everything else. And, you know, you mentioned John McCain yesterday stopping to look at the flowers. And he's like, boy, I just, you know, you need to take the time. We do. We need to take the time to enjoy the here and now, not worry about tomorrow and not fret about what's already happened.
Wendy, as he's saying this, and for people who didn't hear it, I mentioned this yesterday. It was on the 2020 special that they did about John McCain. So he's walking with Sam Donaldson and he comes across these gardens that I believe he had a hand in planting. And he's explaining to Sam Donaldson what the different flowers are, why they're arranged the way they are, the different colors, why they put, and he's loving it. And he's saying how much it means to him to see these flowers at this stage in his life. sorry, and when he was younger, he wouldn't have appreciated it. But now as an older man, he really does appreciate it. And what a wake-up call that was.
But think about it, too. When you're a younger person and you're in school, whether it be high school or college, and then you're starting a family, and then you're trying to get your career going, you don't have the time to smell the daisies.
No, that's
true. You don't.
That's true.
So we should all take a moment each day to enjoy one thing.
Yeah. All right.
I'll figure that
starting
out.
Starting now. Starting right now.
I enjoy you.
Oh, well, thank you, Wendy.
That's all I got right now.
I enjoy you too, Bill.
I like elbow macaroni a lot. And I love it. Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's WGN. Look, that's what it says.
I know, Bill.
That's what it
says. We know you don't write these. Just shut up and read them. I think that says it in our contract. Just shut up and read what we give you.
All right. When I was in Indianapolis the other night over the weekend, several guys on the team went out and we had dinner, and then there was a movie theater in the same complex, and they were showing this movie called, I think it's called Eighth Grade. It's about a girl who's in eighth grade. And we all wanted to see it, and then we realized how goofy it would look if five guys together as a group just went in to watch a movie about an eighth grade girl. So we decided against it.
That's too bad.
No.
You know, why do we care what other people think?
I
do. I'll flat out admit it. Typically, you don't.
I never do. But, like, the more they talked about it, the more I thought, I don't know who, because I haven't seen it, so I'm not sure who the audience is for it, although I've heard really, really good things about it. It's a comedian named Bo Burnham who wrote and directed this movie, and it's supposed to be a very touching, very honest portrayal of what it's like to be in eighth grade today.
It's supposed to be a great movie.
Don't you hear great things, Steve?
My son Noah loves Bo Burnham, too.
Yeah, he's very funny.
I don't know who that is.
He's very funny. He's on, you see him on Comedy Central quite a bit, or on satellite, on one of the comedy channels, they'll play his bits. He's very insightful, very original, and I just love the fact that he's come from almost obscurity to be trusted, writing and directing a movie, and we were all very excited to see that it was playing there, but then we just, the more we thought about it, the more that's gonna look strange. Maybe if there were less of us or more of us, it would have made sense.
It would have looked weirder if there was a bigger group.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
And it would have looked weird if you went by yourself. So are you just not supposed to go unless you have a woman on your arm?
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know. But then afterwards, we went back to the hotel, and I'm like, well, that was stupid. We could have seen that movie. Who cares?
So you got a bunch of guys away for a weekend at a tennis tournament.
Yes.
And you were looking for PG movies to see? What kind of life were you leading?
I don't know.
Wasn't there another movie playing?
You know, everything was staggered strangely. Like, we just missed, we wanted to see Black Klansman a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But that had already started. What was the other one? The reason I even thought about this was because that read I just did sounded very Dr. Seuss-like. The Mr. Rogers documentary that I'm dying to see was playing there, but a couple of the guys had already seen it, so we had to cross that one off the list.
That's why, going somewhere with a big group of people
impossible.
It really is.
There were two movies I was dying to see, but nobody else wanted to see. There were a couple movies one of the guys wanted to see. It's like when you order a pizza and there's six people.
You can't do it.
You have to all go together. Just split up.
Yeah, I guess we could have done that.
I like to go to movies by myself. It's fun.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Because that Mr. Rogers movie is playing at the LaGrange Theater, and I was just going to walk over there and see it. And I thought, well, I'm not going to go by myself.
But think about it.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't talk to people during the movie.
When you're in a movie, you don't look around and go, oh, what's up with that lady over there? She's by herself. What happened there?
I don't do that. I'm surprised you don't.
Others do, though?
I just saw the Crazy Asians by myself.
Was that good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Rich
I didn't want to see it, so I'm like, okay, I'm leaving.
Rich Crazy Asians has been the number one movie the last 2 weeks, surprising everybody. Because when they made this movie, everybody thought, well, it's probably a very small group of people that will be interested in this, despite the fact that it came from a best-selling novel. But everyone in Hollywood is scratching their heads going, wait a minute, 2 weeks in a row, this is the number one movie? But it is.
It's a sweet movie. It really is. The acting was not all that great, I didn't think. But I thought it was a sweet movie.
Constance Wu, is that the lady's name?
Which one?
Who's the lead?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's from the show...
Her best friend in the movie is hilarious. She stole the whole show.
That's what everybody's saying.
Yeah, she was very funny.
Well, Mary, I will get my tennis team together and we'll go see that.
At the synopsis of 8th grade, and it is weird if you went. Here's what it is. 13-year-old Kayla endures the tidal wave of contemporary suburban adolescence as she makes her way through the last week of middle school. The end of her thus far disastrous 8th grade year. It would have looked really
weird.
Bunch
of middle-aged guys watching that movie together? What's wrong with that?
People would call the police on you. Yes, yes.
Jeff, can you hand me a tissue, please? I can't watch this. It's too much.
All right. Well, and Bertrand, you make me laugh because I know that, a bunch of guys together playing tennis, you're not going to go hit a bar because you want to be fresh the next day.
Right.
I guess you could have gone out for like a nice meal.
Then you'd look weird in the white shorts, probably.
No, we'd already changed.
You changed?
Then.
Oh, good.
We had we all went out to lunch every day at a sports bar. We found a sports bar that showed the Cubs games on the biggest TV I ever saw. So we did that every day. And then we also all met for dinner every day. But then after dinner, there's movies right there. Let's go see a movie. Impossible.
You were like a conventioneer, kind of.
Yeah. I wore a fez hat.
Without the vice squad.
Did you have your pink Mary Kay Cadillac?
I parked in back. Nobody saw it. But yeah, good. Salesman of the month. Yeah, it was very exciting.
All right, action-packed show today. Coming up at 11:35, we're going to talk to two people that were at that Twitch gaming convention. They were live streaming the Madden football game, and shots broke out. Have you watched or listened to that audio yet?
I've not seen the audio or the video. I've read accounts of what happened. I'm anxious to hear
it's
firsthand.
It's just a screenshot of somebody playing the game because that's what people do now. They watch other people play games.
Yeah.
So you just see that action on the screen and then you hear shots break out. And, you know, it's so weird because I heard fireworks going off in our yard. And in the old days, I would go, oh, those are fireworks. For a second, you just freeze and you go, okay, what do I do? Because it may happen anywhere.
Right. Well, remember last week, a little over a week ago, Ryan Burrow told us the story. And Steve, I know he told you separately. He told us on the air during the bonus hour that during the Air and Water show, he saw a man on the ground just distraught, so frightened.
Poor thing.
And it was somebody who had served time and was going through some PTSD where they
served time in the military.
Served time in the military. Just hearing, the overhead planes and stuff kind of set him back.
It was heartbreaking.
It's horrible.
I know.
He was disabled on the ground, unable to move.
Poor thing.
Awful.
Well, we'll talk to two people who were there. We've also got an invention that you seem to be way more excited about than I thought you would be.
The angle that I'm excited about is that every once in a while you think of something and you go, I'm sure somebody thought of this, but this should be a thing. You just think of some invention in your head. And this guy, Matt, thought of something like that. And I'm sure he went, well, they have this, right? But they didn't have it. And he's turned it into a multi-million-dollar business.
It's multi-million?
Yeah. Yeah.
That shocks me.
I know.
It really does.
I know. We'll explain more later.
All right, and it's a Tech Tuesday, so we'll check in with Bridget Carey from CNET.com. It's all happening right here, 720 WGN.
Steve, I don't think I've ever heard Orion laugh so hard as he did it as your punishment joke.
I know he would think it was funny, he just wasn't able to.
He didn't hear us,
I don't
you guys.
Think he heard it.
'Cause
it was very funny. I thought the joke was really funny, but I think his not hearing or reacting to the joke was really funny.
I could feel his look.
Speaking of jokes.
What?
Did you see who did stand-up comedy in New York City over the weekend?
No.
Louis C.K. His
really?
First time on stage, his first time doing stand-up comedy in 10 months. Boy, it's been 10 months, right? All right, so we all know the background there. Some women said that Louis C.K. did some things, some extremely inappropriate things. He said, he was the first guy who said right off the bat, the things you're hearing are true. So he said, I'm going to step away from this. And he did. He stepped away. 10 months, did not appear on stage anywhere. No jokes, no anywhere. It just wasn't working. And then he did a club in New York City over the weekend. The club owner said that he took the stage to huge applause. Everybody was thrilled to see him. He was not mentioned on the bill. Like when people bought tickets to see this show, There was no mention that he was going to appear. The MC just came out and introduced him. The crowd loved it. The most interesting thing to me is, in my head, because I don't know if you remember this, but about a half a year ago, when the names were just piling up of guys who had done or been accused of doing horrible things, I said, my guess is the guy who does come back will be Louis C.K. because he can go to the stage and he can address it. You know, he did not address it at all. The club owner said he did typical Louis C.K. material. He talked about parades for some reason. A lot of what his material was over the weekend was about parades. I'm not sure why. But he did in no way, shape, or form address anything that had happened. It happened more than 10 months ago, but the allegations came to light 10 months ago.
Isn't that how it happens, though? It's you look at the severity of it, and maybe this wasn't as bad as other things that people were accused of, and then time does kind of heal all wounds.
What he did was not as bad. Right. So that's one of the things that everybody's been struggling with all through this, is that all crimes are not equal, right? So jaywalking is a crime and murder is a crime. They're both crimes, but they're not as severe.
One is not as far. Different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. So I think you could also apply that theory to what we've seen over the last 2 years with all these guys doing horrendous things, is what Louis C.K. is by far, you know, not innocent by his own admission. He's the first one to tell you he's not innocent. But not that this makes it right, but guys have done far, far worse things. So I think in his head, he went, I'm going to give it some time. And then if the mood seems right, I'm going to ease back into it. And that seems to be what's going on now.
Well, here's where Twitter becomes judge, jury, and executioner. According to the Washington Post, some loyal fans express joy at his return. And there are some comics and actors that have supported him.
Yeah.
But the majority of the response on social media to Louis C.K.'s return appeared to be criticism from comedians, writers, and journalists.
Interesting. I'm not surprised. I mean,
I think it's too soon.
How could it? Yeah, I can't figure out how you. He said originally, I'm going to step away and wait until the mood seems right to come back. So what happened that he figured 10 months has passed? That seems to be the appropriate amount of time. Let me go. I mean, it's not high profile. This wasn't a show that was billed. You know, they didn't say, hey, come and see the return of Louis C.K. He just happened to show up at one of these clubs. Some clubs, the way stand-up comedy clubs work, are a lot of clubs. Most clubs have a bill where they tell you who your three acts or four acts are going to be that you're going to see. But a lot of what they call the showcase clubs is you just go and you have no idea who's going to show up. And that's the club he chose.
The Comedy Cellar, and people are kind of dissing on the owner, Noah Dworman, for having him. Like, how could you have him?
I understand that. I think I get that.
It's too soon, because honestly, when you said Louis C.K. performed, in my head, I'm like, what's the big deal? And then it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So a little bit longer, I don't know.
I thought that of the stand-ups that were in trouble, that Aziz Ansari would be the first one to make a return, because although now that I think about it, Louis C.K. and Aziz Ansari both kind of deal with the real version of themselves, and whatever's going on in their life becomes the show. So I'm not in Louis C.K.'s head, but if I were him, I'd feel an almost need to address it.
Yep, I agree with you.
Because you say to yourself, I'm going to go out there and talk, and the whole time I'm talking, they're going to go, you're going to talk about it, right? You're going to at some point, aren't you? And then he didn't.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't.
Shocked that he didn't. Yeah, not surprised. I'm not surprised that he came back at all. I knew that was going to happen. To what success or detriment, I don't know. But I knew that him being him, he would feel the need to come back. But I am very, very surprised that he didn't take that opportunity either to, you know, be honest about it and say, hey, I know this is an awkward situation for all of us, but here we are. So let's talk about it.
Dropped Trow.
That would have been the worst thing in the world to do. I can't imagine a worse thing. But if he, I don't know him very well. I met him one time. But if he said to me, how would you handle this? I would say, if you feel the need to go back on stage, you better address it, because that's what's going to be in everybody's mind. You have to address it.
And the owner of the Comedy Cellar said something like, you know, there's a quote here. And also, here, there can't be a permanent life sentence on someone who does something wrong. That's what the owner of the Comedy Cellar said.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then, according to the Washington Post, this set comes on the heels of Aziz Ansari returning to do shows in several cities 7 months after that story. So he has been back.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Good.
Yeah, I just don't know what happens with everything. And then, you know, this movie that Kevin Spacey, his latest movie was released in what, made a total of $600 on opening weekend?
It was released in a very, very limited way. Very few theaters
showed it. Still $600, I can go work on a weekend and make that on one corner.
But wouldn't, all right, so you say to yourself, here's a movie that I would normally want to see, and Kevin Spacey's in it, but because he's in it, I'm sure there's a percentage of people that just will stay away for that reason alone. I can't see any major studio at this point taking another chance on him.
No, I can't either.
I can't imagine a situation where somebody high up at a studio goes, yeah, you know what? 3 years have passed. Bring Kevin Spacey back. I don't see that.
But how come people will stay away from a movie, but if an athlete does something untoward, they don't stay away from the ball games?
A great point, and I don't know the answer.
It does seem weird.
I have no idea why.
I mean, there is a way to separate, you know, the character of someone and the job they do, or
right.
Is there? Because it sure happens in sports a lot.
It does, doesn't it?
But, you know, all of a sudden then with movies, no, I'm not going to pay to see the movie, but you'll pay to see a game of someone who has some background.
That's
very interesting.
I can't figure that out, but there is a double standard. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET. All that's ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You know what that music means, Bill.
It's time to dance.
Like David Byrne.
Yes.
It's a Tech Tuesday. Bridget Carey is on the line with us. You can find her on Twitter at Bridget Carey. You can also find her on CNET.com, and she's a senior editor over there. All right. Some interesting science things we're going to talk about. Science. What is this crazy DNA? Please explain this in your words.
I totally stumped you on this one. Okay, so this is a really weird science story that I've been working on for a little while that just went up today. Let me start off by presenting a fact that I don't know if everyone knows. DNA can be used to store digital data. You can put a movie inside DNA. You can put photos. You can put all sorts of things. Scientists figured this out. The same building blocks of life can be encoded, essentially, with those G, T's, A's, and C's that we learned about in chemistry to represent the ones and zeros of any computer file. Just a conversion, really. You're converting the ones and zeros into the four letters of DNA. That said, there's a company now making a business out of this. And people who have a lot invested in cryptocurrency, such as Bitcoin, are saying, let's lock up our passwords in DNA. And I even went to the home of someone who has a little vial in the freezer of synthetic, made in a lab, bunch of fake DNA, because it's not real human or animal material. It's like just chemicals printed. So I say it's synthetic.
Right.
But his Bitcoin password code is in his freezer in a vial of DNA. This is like the backup to the backup to the backup when you really want to make sure you don't lose your password. This is what some people are doing now. It's very expensive. Being able to put data files in DNA is something that is possible, but right now, researchers, it costs $7,000 to put 2 megabytes, you know, into DNA. So who's going to spend that? Maybe people have a lot of, you know, Bitcoin invested. Maybe they'll plop out $1,000 to put a little itty-bitty password in DNA, and that's what we're talking about here. So many layers, but in general, I think it's pretty cool that people are just able to store computer files in DNA, and there's a reason why this is important, I guess, to scientists, not to store Bitcoins and stuff. But really, we have a data problem. We have too much data. There's too many cat videos, too many tweets, too much everything. And we are at a point where, as humans, we're producing just a crazy amount of data that we're going to not have enough hard drive material, you know, by the year 2040. So it's like, how are you going to store all this stuff? Scientists go, DNA is really small. It's just another storage method. CDs, floppy disks, you know, technology changes. They're not good anymore. But DNA is forever, right?
Well, so is it going to be? Is it going to be?
That's what we're talking about.
Is it going to be in your body? Like, if they draw blood or fluids, they can find out what your password is for your bank account.
That was my question. That was my question. So I'm glad I'm in good company here. I was like, can my thumb be an actual thumb drive? It is way too experimental to mess with your own DNA, as you can imagine. So theoretically, you could store things in your own code, but no one's doing that. Don't mess with your code. You know, you don't want to do that. What we're talking about is just synthetic printed out chemicals, and really scientists can print out any chemicals to represent GTAC, Gattaca, whatever, and they do this all the time, just like a printer would. It just takes a day to get it done, and what you do is you send it back to a lab to be read by a machine, and they can read out the letters back to you, you know, what those letters represent in the zeros and ones to turn it back into a file that your computer can understand. So yes, it's going to take a while. You're not just double clicking a photo here, but people are going, wait, what if I wanted to pass down my family photo album through the generations? And that's the idea, long term storage, something you wouldn't access
Bitcoin. Yeah, it wouldn't be immediate stuff. Although I imagine that kidnappings would go up and people would kidnap you and draw some blood and then hack into your accounts.
Is that possible, Bridget?
So far, it's not being saved in you, right? You know, so far.
But it's just in a vial.
But then again, we're going to be like unlocking things with more, you know, eyeballs and thumbprints and who knows what else is next, and DNA itself could verify your identity. So we're not too far from that idea, I guess, either.
All right, that's freaky. But, you know, when you talk about passing things down, because I took video when Michael was born 19 years ago. Dylan was born 16 years ago, but the second kid, who cares?
Yeah.
And, like, all those videotapes are inaccessible right now. I have to get a converter and put them somewhere.
Yeah.
But if you could put those somewhere within your DNA, and then when I pass along, finally, I could keep things organized. It would be in me.
Right.
or if you don't want to put it in you, if you want to have like just a bunch of vials in the freezer, let's say, because it lasts, you know, very like hundreds of years, you know, you could pass those vials down, and then, you know, even if it's not in you, it's still, everyone will be able to read DNA as long as humans are around. You might not be able to read that CD drive or that 8-track or whatever you put it on originally, but you can always, a lab will always be able to read DNA. You just have to know how to do it. For the folks that did it, this is their backup to the backup, you know, because they know it's such new technology, but this is something that's being explored right now. If they can get the cost down, I definitely see myself, you know, and maybe investing in a way to put it in a tube for like all my family videos and photos or something like historical stuff. That might be really kind of neat, but I don't need to mess with my own code. Thank you very much. No messing with my DNA.
All right, that's fair. Bridget, let me shift gears. I know I ask you this every week, but I'm going to ask again. Are robot dogs a reality yet?
Yes.
They are finally a reality?
Oh.
Finally, Bill, you can get a pet.
Finally. Yay. Tell us about robot
dogs. It only costs as much as a normal purebred.
Oh, they do?
If you don't mind spending around $3,000, yeah.
What is the robot dog?
Sony is called Aibo. You might remember it from the late 90s, early 2000s. They've always had this robot dog brand called Aibo, but they brought it back, and it's way more advanced with artificial intelligence, deep learning, being able to see your face, know the different people in your family, know up to 100 people, actually, respond to sound and voice commands. They had a demo of it in New York City, and they're starting to ship them out in September. This is really a companion smart robot, and people go, wow, $2,900 is a lot to spend on a robot when it's not actually doing anything that a speaker would. It's just really just being a dog, but in robot form. And to that, they know it's quirky. They really made something that was very intricate robotically, something that's really intricate with, being able to respond to voice and people's faces. And so you're looking at just the beginning of the future of robotics more so than something that's like a useful thing to, like, you know, be a smart home device. So I say this is a companion, people who are lonely.
That is what I was thinking, or someone who needs a therapy dog or a service dog, but this, you wouldn't have to let them out. It might really serve a purpose.
Yeah.
Right. And with a camera, they're even talking about having it be something where you could, it takes photos and videos, but you could maybe use it as a remote camera. So what if you wanted to check on mom and see how she's doing in a way? Maybe that's possible. But right now, this is very companion oriented. This is something that learns the more you play with it. So it really is like a puppy when you begin and you have to train it. And yeah. I got it to like do little tricks and play dead and chase a ball. And, you know, it's kind of interesting how much, you know, work went into making this robot. But I think a lot of folks are turned off by the price because they're like, well, just get a real dog. But yeah, if you don't want to deal with the real dog stuff, it's just interesting that they made this tech. I like seeing this kind of stuff invented that, you know, just has a nice, you know, appeal to it that isn't necessarily like another social network.
Bridget, is there ever a time when you're doing anything with this robot dog that you're not thinking this is a robot dog? I mean, you can tell the difference, right? It's not that accurate, is it?
It's plastic. No, I just showed you a picture. It's pretty cute.
It's very slow. Like when you play fetch with the ball, you throw the ball to it or roll it to it, and it has a little camera in its nose, and it's looking for the ball, trying to line up its body with its foot to, like, kick it back to you.
Oh.
And you're like, all right, I hope you got a lot of time on your hands because it's not a fast response. Oh. But it's fast for a robot, you know, but it's just more like, you know, of course, it's not, going to be like, like how a pet can respond. But you pet it on its head, it responds. You pet it on its little chin.
It's
under
like
its
one of
jaw.
Those little Furbies.
Yeah, right.
Although, what? Imagine if, I know a lot of parents that worry about leaving teenagers home when they're out of town, or maybe you're leaving a nanny with your kid. If you have this dog here, you could spy on people in your house.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You could use your phone as the way to see the video cam and turn the dog into, like, a walking security camera.
Oh, that's
exactly.
Cool. All right. What does it shed instead of hair?
It sheds batteries. Everything from your wallet. I don't know.
Gigabytes.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're not only a tech nerd, but you're a science nerd, it turns out. It's good to hear you talk about this.
Well, if you want a better explanation than I can give in like a minute on the radio, I do have a video up now explaining data in DNA. So you can check that out on CNET.
Go to CNET.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at Bridget Carey and look for her DNA dog video on CNET.com. Thank you so much, Bridget. Happy Tech Tuesday.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Bye, Bridget.
It's so weird.
The more she explained the DNA thing, the less I understood it. Did you ever have something like that where you don't get something and somebody explains it to you and you go, wait, now I really don't get it?
And, I mean, you're going to have little vials of DNA in your freezer. I mean,
just holding movies?
And pictures and stuff? Anything you want. Yeah, I guess.
Is that?
I'm not doing it.
No, I'm not doing it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Weird guy.
Wendy.
What?
Matt Dreifoud is the most, I think, the most genuine American success story that I've heard in a long, long time. Matt joins us right now. Matt, first of all, thanks for being here. We're doing fine. Anxious to talk to you. Excited to talk to you.
And second of all, I just wanted to say get back, JoJo, to
get
you.
Get back, JoJo. That's our message to you, Matt. Matt,
there you go.
For reference reasons, the story all starts out with the fact that you, sir, had a hairy back, right?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
How hairy? Just so we understand,
like Chewbacca hairy?
No, was it?
No. It was one of those things where it was not even noticeable by myself when I was younger. When it started coming in, I'm a Dutch, you know, towhead when I was little.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter how hairy you are. What matters is if you're self-conscious about it.
Yes. Sure.
And that's what many people get mistaken. They think that, you know, just certain dark haired, you know, guys are going to be the hairiest, and that's just not the case. It's if you care about it, and especially if people point it out in front of large groups of people.
People did that?
That's awful.
Yeah, I was 18. I was with a bunch of buddies in Chicago on the North Shore, you know, playing beach volleyball, and one of my buddies pointed it out. I'm 40 now, so this is a long time ago, but one of my buddies pointed it out in front of a bunch of girls and friends, and I just wanted to, you know, jump in Lake Michigan and hide. That day, I went home. I took a regular traditional razor and just about popped my shoulder out trying to reach all the spots in the back, and, you know, it wasn't until a while down the road where I realized there's really not a solution out there for this issue.
Could you have, and I don't know you well enough to know what you're comfortable with, but could you have gone into a barber and said, take a little off the top, and, as you know what, while you're here, just keep going and take more
just off. Just keep going south?
Yeah.
You know, the thing is my wife was a medical esthetician, and when we started dating, she was just like, you know, you can't let that go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, it's one of those things where in Chicago, you know, you have the winter months, you're kind of lazy, you're nobody's seeing because you're wearing, you know, sweatshirts and sweaters. It wasn't until we really started dating, you know, this is going back, we were, you know, in our early 20s, and she's like, you know, we need to get that waxed. And if you guys have ever experienced waxing, it's just, it's the most painful thing, especially for a guy. You know, women have higher pain tolerances, but it was awful.
Delicate areas are different than your back, too. Let me just say that, Matt.
I'm sure of that. I'm positive of that.
And if you saw a 40-year-old virgin, that's really what it's like. It is not fun.
No, that encompasses it all, right? I mean, I used to drink a couple of Coronas just to get through the pain.
Oh.
And
you should have gone stronger than that.
Yeah. It wasn't until she took one strip and actually tried my chest, and I started bleeding. I was like, I'm done.
And the thing, I'm sorry, Bill.
No, it's all right.
This is just intriguing to me. Yeah. And I am blonde as well, so the hair on my arms is blonde, and I don't have a ton of it. But if it's big and fluffy and you get a tan, like all of a sudden, it sounded like your back was, you know, fuzzy. Yeah.
You got to get rid of it, right? Yeah. It's one of those things. You're not going to be wearing a tank top downtown with that, you know, with a couple shoulder pads peeking out of your tank top.
No.
Or a pair of angel wings on the, you know, the lower sides of your back.
That's not
or
good.
Even a bunny tail, which was most commonly, we call it a bunny tail, in the lower bottom back, you know, side of your back, the torso, lower torso area, right above the underwear line. That's definitely just a no-no.
Plus, it blocks out if people want to read your tramp stamp. They can't because there's hair all over. That's the worst.
You know, the funny thing is I get tattooed. Parlors that buy our products for shaving prior to, you know, somebody getting a tattoo, and then we get a lot of people that actually buy it after they get a tattoo, because if you're going to get the ink, you want to show it off.
Yes.
You don't want it hiding behind the brush.
Yeah.
So
I've seen a lot of men who completely shave like their arms, their back, their chest. I mean, they're as smooth as a baby.
It's a growing phenomenon, and I'll tell you, you know, the millennials, which are just, you know, it's huge, our number one market. They do shave everything. In fact, there was some articles coming out with guys in university shaving their legs that are not even swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, this has kind of led us to believe that, you know, this is definitely, you know, back here it was never something that was attractive, right? People just got away with it. Right, you're going back to the Burt Reynolds day. People just got away with it. It was accepted.
Yeah.
But it was always kind of like still a little bit gross. Fast forward to today, you know, chest hair is acceptable. A lot of millennials are shaving that as well, which is why we're coming out with a Sidekick shaver, which is a smaller version of the back blade. Because our blades are unique in that they can shave without, you know, using shaving cream. They can do it wet or dry. So doing it quickly, getting a smooth finish and painless, it actually feels good. Is kind of what we strive for.
All right, so you've already mentioned the product. Let me go into greater detail. It's called Backblade, and it's very similar to a razor, you know, that you've seen in other places, but the difference is it's got a gigantic handle, correct?
Well, it does have an ergonomic handle. The blade cartridges themselves are different. We've coined the term dry glide blades. They're actually the construction of the blade cartridges are definitely different than your traditional razors. But yeah, it does have an ergonomic handle allowing you to easily access all the hard to reach areas.
Yeah, because you can't put shaving cream on your back unless
it's very difficult. And so there are a lot, you know, the majority of our audience prefers to dry shave. And I know that sounds a little bit like confusing, but when you actually utilize it, you get an understanding. And then there are some, you know, that do prefer wet shaving. And we do have some stuff that allows them to apply the cream and shave in the shower if they wish to do that as well.
Matt, I would think you would need to have a little more pivot to the blade itself because your back has all kinds of contours that maybe your face doesn't have, right?
That's a great question. If you've ever used a back scratcher on your back,
yeah,
a back scratcher doesn't have a pivot, and our blades shave in a very similar manner to a back scratcher. So if we actually incorporate a pivot, it actually kind of goes against how our blades are meant to shave.
Oh, right. All right.
So it's very similar to a back scratcher. In fact, a lot of, you know, it actually feels similar when you're actually shaving your back. So that's when I say it's pleasant. It feels like a back scratcher.
Yeah.
The best way to put it.
All right. Backblade.com, BAKBLADE. Now, Matt, I'm sure you've thought of this, but for people like myself who use fake tanning products, I cannot reach that area of my back. Can you come up with something that I can put, you know, lotion on there and get my back?
Yeah. Absolutely. We're actually right now in the process of developing and we'll be releasing in 2019. Our back block, which is going to be a sunscreen applicator, allow you to reach that, as well as some other devices that will, in fact, allow you to apply either cream, suntan lotion, if you have any other type of applications that you want, it will allow that. And I'll also just note that we are coming out with a female version, which is going to be called She Shaver, designed for pregnant women with baby bumps who can't shave their legs because they have a big baby bump.
It is hard to bend down.
And their husbands are doing enough.
Yep.
As well as, you know, women at an age where they have bad backs, they don't want to bend over and apply shaving cream. I can't picture my grandmother bending over and applying shaving cream and shaving her legs. So it allows them to keep.
You don't want to picture that, Matt. Yeah, even if you could picture it, you probably shouldn't.
Although I got to tell you, now I have this vision in my head where if I want to be really lazy, I can just lay in bed and dry shave my legs.
Yes.
There you go.
Right then and there.
That's easy.
Just she shave it. There you go.
You are a genius.
Matt, it's too bad you didn't have this idea during prehistoric times because Tyrannosaurus rexes had very short arms and to shave for them was nearly impossible. So it's a shame.
Yeah. I had a vision of a group. Now it's the switch to the Tyrannosaurus rex.
T-Rex. He did have those tiny arms.
Yeah, they couldn't shave. They never had a good shave. They had stubble all the time. So this, when you first thought of this idea, and I don't know how many years ago, when did you think of the back blade? How many years ago?
Well, there were several different prototypes, and there were several different versions that actually, the idea of a back shaver that worked in my mind, you know, was right around that 2008 to 2010, and then it really took another couple years just to get something that actually was a working prototype that did the job. So it certainly was an evolution of time and money that it wasn't an overnight thing.
But did you think back then that it would reach the pinnacle of success that you've reached? You've made a lot of money off this. Everybody loves this product. You've done pretty well with this from this idea.
You know, I've definitely been blessed with you know the success that it's had up to this point. And you know, it's a lot of fun. I mean, to be honest with you, I've been in sales the majority of my life. I've had other businesses that have gone up and down, especially in 08. And, you know, the thing about it is, with something like this, is I'm very creative, and that's what I actually enjoy the most.
Yeah.
So doing content, doing videos, and now we're doing more videos for commercials and social media, that it doesn't feel like a job, that part of it. It certainly takes up a lot of time, but it's the most enjoyable work that I've had up until this point in my career, and it's certainly a blessing. So,
which celebrity do you think has the hairiest back? Just to look at them, you've never seen their backs, but when you think about celebrities, who would be the ideal spokesperson for the back blade?
I would love a George Costanza.
Yeah. Yes.
If you will.
Yes.
You know, Jason
Alexander.
Yeah, there you go.
Jason Alexander.
I think he would be an ideal model for... for our particular, not just the product, but also the brand. So, you know, you never know.
That's a great idea.
All right. Did you invest all your own money or did you get help? And the reason I ask this is because when you go up to someone to ask for a considerable amount of money to start this back shaving business, did they laugh at you?
No, I didn't. I started it with my own money. You know, since then, organically, we've put everything that we've made from the business back into the business over several years. We did have a Kickstarter and Indiegogo, which is a crowdfunding platform, that we launched our 2.0 version with a few years ago. We did raise $1 million on those platforms, which allowed us to really expand and continue to scale the business. But outside of that, you know, loans, lines of credit were really the only thing that we was sought after, just to keep the integrity of kind of where we wanted to go with the business.
All right, let's do this. You're okay with us giving away a couple of these back blades? You're
absolutely
good with this?
All right. Absolutely.
Callers number 8 and callers number 10 at 312-981-7200 will receive the back blade that we've been talking to Matt Dreifeld about. Caller 8 and 10, 312-981-7200.
How much does this go for? If I want to buy a back blade, what kind of packages? How much do they retail for?
Sure. So they typically retail for $27.95. The blade cartridges are right around $11.95. You know, the blades typically will last, you know, 4 to 5 shaves. Obviously, the first time, if you're a werewolf to start or a gorilla, just like completely caked in hair, the first blades will probably take a little bit of the hit. But then that's why we're now including an extra set of blades in the package.
Excellent.
So.
Good.
All right. And is it true that your first year you made $50,000? And then what did you make 2017?
2017, we wrapped that up between $4 and $5 million.
$4 and $5 million?
In revenue, correct.
Oh, my.
That's a pretty good jump. That's excellent. Wow. We're proud of you. That's wonderful. All right, Matt, we're going to give away, we already have a couple of winners, Jason from Huntley, Eileen from Chicago.
Wait, we have to talk to him. Are you good with time? Can you hang on a second, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good with time, no worries.
All right, hang on. Here's why, Bill, because I want to talk to these people why they would want a...
All right.
Do they have a hairy back? Are they married to someone?
You can't ask that, can you?
Yeah, why not? All right, they called to win a back blade, BAKBLADE.com.
We'll give them fake names. We won't actually say it's Jason from Huntley and Eileen from Chicago. We'll give them fake names.
All right.
That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's a hairy back.
Yep. Matt Dreifeld is our guest. He's the CEO and the founder of Backblade. If you have a back hair problem or it's becoming worse or you know somebody who does, he can help you out. Backblade.com, BAKBLADE.
All right, we're giving two away, Matt. And I just thought we wanted to talk to the people really quickly here. Hey, Jason, do you have a hairy back?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Pretty soon it's going to be smooth like a baby's bottom.
Awesome.
All right, hang on a second. And we have a female caller, Aileen.
Aileen, hi.
Aileen, are you married to a hairy guy?
I'm married to a hairy guy, but I also have a brother who's very hairy.
Oh.
I thought if I can't get my husband to use it, I'll give it to my brother.
All right, hang on. All right, Matt, everybody wants the back blade.
Yeah, and I want that jingle. That's a great song.
Jasmine will get it to you.
Matt, a little while ago I asked you which celebrity you think should endorse the product. You said Jason Alexander. Several people texting in, Brad Garrett wouldn't be a bad option. I'm also going to throw Ed Asner into the mix.
Oh,
Jim Shalit and Ron Jeremy I think would be pretty good too.
Oh, the hedgehog.
There you go. That's great.
Matt, congratulations on a job well done. You saw a problem out there, and you've solved the problem and have since made a lot of money. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we need to keep in touch with you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anytime in the future you see a she shaver coming out, first quarter, maybe 2019, let me know.
Yeah, I would like to get a she shaver just because it's fun to say.
You can't get it done by Christmas, though, huh? I think it'd make a perfect Christmas gift, but you think first quarter of next year.
It's going to be first quarter next year. There's a lot of video production involved and other elements involved. But, yeah, we'll definitely we'll make it out there in 19.
Well, keep up the good work.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Matt Dreifaut, the CEO and founder of Backblade.
BAKBLADE.com. Mm-hmm. It makes me giggle, but it's
a necessity for many
for
people.
For some people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's do some news, and then a very serious topic to follow. Two people that were at the gaming...
The Twitch convention.
It was
a tournament. Yeah, and they were witnesses to the shooting going on. If you haven't seen the video, you can just find it's everywhere. It's just they're watching somebody, two gamers playing Madden football, and then you hear shots ring out, and it's frightening.
Yeah.
And honestly, at first, you don't even know what
you
it
think
is.
It's part of the event.
A balloon popping. You don't even think about it. But two Chicagoans who were there, witness to, we'll talk to them after the news, which is next, 720 WGN. Thank you, Kim. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. On Sunday afternoon, I was just, you know, hanging around the house. I get this alert that there's a shooting at a Madden NFL 19 video game tournament in Florida. And I just remember thinking, what next? This is happening all over the place. Two people who were at this event, Taylor Poindexter and Marquise Williams. Hi, you guys. You're both here from Chicago, and you were attending that video game tournament, right?
That's right.
I can't even imagine. You're just going to have fun. You guys obviously are big gamers. You're from Chicago's South Side, correct?
Right.
So you're going there to have a fun afternoon and play some video games. It's a big tournament going on, and a lot of us have watched that video where you hear shots ring out. You're there eating pizza. What goes through your mind at first when you hear these noises? Do you think it's gunshots?
Well, when we heard the first shot, we actually thought it was a balloon pop because that's what it sounded like. And then shortly after, when we heard the continuous round, we was like, okay, there's no balloons here. And me and Marquise actually caught a glimpse of the shooter from where we were sitting at, and we saw him, two hands on the gun, walking backwards, just firing rounds. By that point, me and him had hit the ground. And we were trampled. We was pushing our way through, crawling out into safety. And between the both of us, Marquise made it out first. And then shortly after, I was behind him. And I saw him, and I'm calling out to him. I'm like, Bae, something wrong with my ankle. I can't run. So he picked me up, and we actually go to around the corner. So we've seen a cargo elevator, which wouldn't open. And right next door, there's the back way to the nearby Mexican restaurant where we've seen an employee had the door open. And we're going towards him saying, hey, let us in. But he closed the door. So we're not sure if it's because he wasn't understanding that what was going on next door or out of fear. But we wasn't sure if it was EA personnel or the gaming bar personnel that came and said, hey, there's an active shooter next door, let us in. So he let us in, and the employees of the restaurant, even the manager of the restaurant, was guiding people into the restroom and telling them to remain there until police got on scene to make sure it's all clear for us to leave. And I'm in a stall, in a bathroom stall, with my ankle and my leg propped up because by that point it was swollen. And by the time that we was cleared to leave out, Marquise went and got a police officer telling them that I needed medical attention. And by the time him and that police officer came, I was already being escorted out for medical attention. And then we were taken to a nearby hospital.
I can't even imagine the terror you two went through. You're just there to do a fun gaming. You sat down to eat pizza. You know, you're from Chicago. We're from Chicago. I know there are a lot of shootings going on here. Did you ever think in a million years anything would break out there?
No, actually, we didn't. Actually, to be honest, we walked when we walked into the game bar the first time, the day before the tournament started, I actually took notice of where the exit points were and the entry points, but I honestly thought that the chances of something happening were relatively low.
Yep, that's where we've all changed. I mean, with all these mass shootings going on, you start going to a movie and you look for the exits. You go in anywhere and you look for the exits. We've kind of been trained to do that, right, Marquise?
Yes, especially in my line of work, we're always looking for exits. We're always looking for an easy way out in the case of a disaster or something like this.
Taylor, a moment or so ago, you said that you saw the shooter. You could see you were that close. How close approximately were you to the shooter, would you say?
We were about, I would say, 20, 30 feet, and then we were like about 10, 15 feet away from the exit.
Is there a thought at that point when you realize you're that close to somebody with a gun who's shooting at a crowd that it your number could be up, or is that crossing through your head at that point?
Well, what was crossing through my mind was we need to get down because we wasn't sure if he was going to change his aim. As we said before, we didn't see his face. We saw his silhouette and behind him so we could see the color shirt he had on, which was an army green shirt, gray sweatpants, and not to sound funny or anything like that, but his hair resembled the color of Peppermint Patty from the Peanuts.
Mm.
And we could see him holding a handgun, two hands on it, and he's just walking backwards, just firing rounds. So our first instinct was we need to get down because he's backing up. We don't know if he's going to turn around and start firing towards the bar.
You know, most of us are lucky enough not to be in a situation like this, and we're very sorry that you had to be involved. We're so thankful that you came out okay, but you don't even, it sounds like, you don't even have time to think. You just react. Would that be accurate?
Yes,
that's very accurate. For me personally, just like her, I did see the shooter backing up as he was taking multiple shots. And at that point, our brains didn't comprehend anything else except there's a shooter, get down and run. And our body did the rest. If I felt any pain, I didn't feel it until after the adrenaline wore off.
And Taylor, you mentioned your ankle. You had twisted it from the crowds, maybe being trampled. Did you feel pain or you just knew you couldn't get up and walk on it?
I didn't feel the pain until I made it outside, and I saw Marquise, and I was trying to get up, run towards his direction. So after the adrenaline rush, I didn't feel any pain.
It's amazing. Our bodies just take care of us. They just try to get us out of harm's way.
Yeah. What about the crowd? How would you describe the crowd's behavior? I'm guessing chaotic at that point. You don't know which direction to run in, do you?
Before the shooting, everybody was calm and collected.
Yeah,
and everyone was just enjoying themselves and having a good time. And then after the shooting, what you said was correct. It was chaos. People were running all over the place. By the time we actually got outside, we saw people running. They were as far as half of a football field. Everyone was running, trying to find a place of safety. There were people behind us who magically appeared in front of us. It was a very hectic scene.
And to add to this, you don't know at that point, I don't even know if this crosses your mind with all that's going on, but you say to yourself, I'm seeing one shooter, but how do I not know there's a second or third shooter right around the corner, right?
Well, that's correct. That actually didn't even cross neither one of our minds. We just saw one shooter, and we just took off in the opposite direction.
When you were walking into the competition, were there metal detectors? I know that's they probably screened bags and backpacks. Were there any metal detectors?
No
metal detectors, and they actually didn't screen our backpack.
Okay.
But the thing about it was, the only thing that most Madden players come with is a cell phone, wallet, and an extra controller.
Yeah,
if they don't already have one, or you know, they may have something to drink or something to eat that they brought in. Other than that,
or even headphones to listen to their music while they're playing, but
yeah,
nothing really more than that.
Is this event sponsored by EA Sports, who makes Madden Football? Were they behind this?
It was a sanctioned event, and yeah. both of us were signed up to play.
Yeah, and do you receive any kind of anything from them saying we're horribly sorry for what you endured? We'll do everything in our power to make this better next time. Do they send out a message to you somehow or not?
Not personally, but I believe that they did send out a general statement via social media that they were sorry that anything like this has happened, and their thoughts and prayers go out to those families who lost loved ones, and then also to the survivors.
I have two teenage boys that are into gaming very much, and they watch a lot of these tournaments. And my 15-year-old said, "Why are there so many guns out here? Why are there so many guns? I just don't understand how that can happen." Your thoughts on guns at this point?
My thoughts on guns, I'm all for getting rid of them altogether.
Going forward for both of you, Marquise and Taylor, as an event comes up of any kind, are you a little more reticent to attend after something like this happens to you? Or do you just say to yourself, this is the world we live in at this point?
I'm definitely more leery about it, but if I get an invitation to a tournament, the first question I ask is, how's the security set up?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering if that will change if there were no metal detectors or anything. I wonder in the future if there will be. Going to a Blackhawks game or White Sox or the Bears, you've got to go through metal detectors. You get your bags checked. It would seem that they would do something like that with a large crowd of people.
And you know what? In the future, going forward, if EA Sports decides to put a sanctioned event together, and we have to do that to enter, I am completely fine with that. I am not complaining about metal detectors used to make sure that the entire crowd is safe. And I actually have no problem if I'm sitting there with a competitor playing a game, and there's a police officer standing right there, marked or unmarked, watching the scene while we can play our game that we are very passionate about safely. I have no complaints about that.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's a minor inconvenience for what could possibly be a life-saving thing.
Sure.
When did you guys return home?
We actually got home yesterday morning around 11:30.
And were you scheduled to return at that time, or did you cut your trip short?
No, we had already scheduled a return yesterday morning.
Are there nightmares after you go through something like this? Is it harder to sleep than normal?
Actually, last night I was able to sleep peacefully, and that's because I was in my own house.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We wish you the best, Taylor Poindexter and Marquise Williams. Marquise, you mentioned with your occupation, with your profession, you're looking for ways out. I'm just curious, what is it that you do for a living?
Well, I'm a paraprofessional with Clearwoods Academy out in Wheaton, and we work with students with autism.
It's a remarkable job you're doing. And Taylor, what do you do?
I am a patient dining assistant at the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab in downtown Chicago.
Look at you. You two helping people and get stuck in a terrible situation. Bless you. We are so glad and thankful that you're okay. And we thank you so much for talking with us. Continued healing.
Thank you.
Thanks to both of you. Wow.
I can't even imagine. I'm like covered in goosebumps listening to them talk because I can't even imagine.
No, it's just a regular day. Everything's going your way. And then something like this pops up, huh? All right, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll close things off, turn things over to Steve in just a little bit. Wendy and I will be on the stream for the bonus hour. That's coming up at 12. We'd love to have you join us. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're going to the stream. Bill, maybe you can help here. I'm getting in trouble via text. Like, don't blame guns.
Yeah, there's a couple texts that say that, but I tend to, when somebody gets shot, I understand it's the person pulling the trigger,
right,
who has done it, but I'm still going to blame the guns.
And there are too many guns out there, and this gun had a laser sight on it. If this guy had a slingshot or something, there wouldn't be deaths. Even a knife, there probably wouldn't be deaths. You can't really go up against a bullet.
Was it just today that it was announced that he knew the victims, and how did that play out? Was he aiming at people that he knew, or was it just a random occurrence that these were people he knew?
All I know is that he played in the competition and he had been eliminated, and then began shooting.
Yeah. All right, so you asked me off air why weren't there metal detectors at the event, and I didn't answer then, but I will now. I think it's because, even though it seems to be happening more and more often, it is happening more and more often, it's still random occurrences. So then you could say, well, why wouldn't there be metal detectors everywhere at this point? Every time you go to a grocery store, every time you see a movie, every time you go into your office for work. But there's no way to predict when and where these things are going to take place. My guess is whoever organized the event, we think it's EA Sports, or at least they had a hand in this, that they will provide them now.
But anyway, I mean, you go to the grocery store, yes, there are various people in there shopping at the same time you are, but this is an event, and to me, that brings in a bigger crowd of people, and people from all walks of life gathered in a big convention hall.
Yeah.
So that is a little different.
It's different, but it's still, because it's so unpredictable, I mean, let's say one did happen at a grocery store, that there was a huge shooting at a grocery store. People go, well, how could they not have one at a grocery store?
I know, I guess.
You know? So just the randomness of it all is what makes it almost impossible to stop.
But the people who have guns legally, why do they care that I say I don't want to see guns out there?
I'm not sure.
I don't want any more guns.
I think
guns.
It's just a defense mechanism for people who... and. You know, there's plenty of gun owners who are extremely responsible and want the laws that we need, but there are just other people that as soon as you say the word gun, they just jump and get very defensive and go, stop blaming guns for all these shootings.
Say pit bull, see what happens.
Yeah, I guess. I defend the pit bulls. I guess gun owners should defend their guns. And this kid did have some psychological issues.
Yeah.
I guess we have one more break real quickly before we say hello to Steve Bertrand.
All right, Steve, we've not said hello to you yet. So
okay, I'll take it back.
Look forward to that. We will officially say hello to Steve Bertrand in just a minute. You won't want to miss that. It's Bill and Wendy and WGN.